Blog Talk Radio.
June 16, 2018. My name is Haleem, the Dream Builder, Doctor of Self-Esteem, your co-host working with the professor who is the host and moderator, the senior great-grandson of Dr. Booker T. Washington. We are joining you today from Booker T. Washington Speaks, the African-American Family Room Forum. Now, today's topic is going to be should universities charter white student unions on their campuses? And part two says, should universities charter black student unions on their campuses? And the question that we want to answer is, what is the difference? Now, before we begin, I'd like to say a prayer, if you join me, please. But I want to say this. Today is this Juneteenth day for a lot of black people celebrations, and also well, those Muslim fasting is the time that we go into a celebratory mode of breaking our fast. So that's another thought. But let me go into a prayer in Arabic and English, and I'll turn it over to the professor. Ayyudu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahi r-Rahmani r-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Maliki yawmiddin, Iyyaka na'budu wa Iyyaka nasta'in, Ihdina siratal mustaqim, siratal ladzina an'amta 'alayhim, ghayril maghdubi 'alayhim waladdallin. Amin. The translation from the Arabic to English is, we seek refuge in God, away from the curse of the devil Satan. Praise be to God, cherished and standing in the world's most gracious, most merciful, master of the day of judgment. Thee alone do we worship, and thy aid do we seek. Show us the straight way, the will of those whom thou hast bestowed thy grace, those whose portion is not wrath, and who go not astray in their service and duty to you. Amen. Let it be so. Again, my name is Halim, the Dream Builder, your co-host working with the professor, and I read the presented the topic. I'll do it again before I turn to the professor, and here's the topic in a two-part question. One is, should universities charter white student unions on their campuses? Should universities charter black student unions on their campuses? And what is the difference? So, professor, it's in your hands, sir.
All right. Thank you very much. Good evening, everyone. Good evening, Dr. Halim Mustafa. Can you hear me all right?
Loud and clear, sir.
Okay, great. Well, we chose this topic because recently in the news, not in the national TV news, because that's been preoccupied with things regarding the Trump administration issues and the beating of the president of North Korea, or the dictator of the North Korean People's Republic of Korea, and President Trump. So we haven't had much exposure to what's in the back news, back channel news. But in one of the most prominent organs of public expression in the United States, called The Nation magazine, there recently appeared, and it's online if someone wants to go up online to www.thenation.com, they can actually see this article. Now, this is not really a new article. It's an old article. It's actually about 5 years old, 5.5 years old. But you can also find more current information. But I'm using this article because of the prominence of the periodical that it's located in. And the it's actually a op-ed, you know, an opinion editorial written jointly by two people. And from what I can gather, I can't really tell from their names. I would seem to think they might be white people. But be that as it may, let me share some of the points of the article with our listening audience. First of all, the title is The Danger of White Student Unions. The Danger of White Student Unions. Now, we are, most of us should be, if we've been spending any time on black college campuses in the last 50 years, we should be familiar with the existence of the BSUs, or the black student unions. But now we have the white student unions beginning to get organized on some of the college campuses. So this article is entitled The Danger of White Student Unions. And this writer by the name of Christy Yandoli, and also representing an organization that I imagine she is associated with called the Student Nation. The subtopic, or the sub-theme, is the complexities of racial tensions on campus are too many and the stakes too high to allow white student unions at universities. Now, this is her opinion. And going into more detail, it says that dangerous movements grow from small seeds, said one student named Aiden Crane, that was at Indiana University. He said, we have a responsibility to stop racism and white nationalism whenever they rear their ugly heads. And then following up on that, it says, last fall, Towson University, and I'd have to go back and look to see where that's located, but I think it's in Missouri, if I'm not mistaken. But anyway, last fall, Towson University senior Michael Heimbach founded a white student union that conducted nighttime patrols in order to protect students from what he called the school's black crime wave. Then, after a series of racist symbols were found on campus, a Nazi flag and whites-only sign above a water fountain, Oberlin College, which incidentally was one of the first colleges in America to admit black students back in the 1800s, but Oberlin College canceled classes, and this was March of, I suppose it was 2013, to hold a day of solidarity. Now, we weren't made aware of a lot of this information, but it's not too late to talk about it because the movement is still growing. And then here right in my state in Georgia, and of course this was back in 2013, I didn't hear anything about it then, but more recently, or most recently then, an incoming freshman at Georgia State University, which is in Atlanta, Georgia, the capital of Georgia, by the name of Patrick Sharp, created another white student union, citing this other person, Michael Heimbach, as his inspiration. And then it goes on to say, while white student unions are generally met with resistance from other students on campus, listen to this part, college administrators defend their right to exist. College administrators defend the right of the white student unions to exist. And the vice president for student affairs at that time, I don't know if he's still there in that position. A lot of these executives in the college world tend to move around after a few years. But it says Doug Covey, Georgia State University's vice president for student affairs, told the Huffington Post newspaper in August that he had already received a number of complaints, but, quote, all students at the university enjoy the right to engage in free speech. And I'll close right there. The rest of it is opinionated. But still, the fact is that this is a growing movement on college campuses, mainly in response to the strong pro and sometimes black nationalistic fever of the black students on white campuses, especially as things have developed in the last couple of years under this presidential administration, when it seems that black students are beginning to feel more threatened and less welcome on these predominantly white campuses. I'm thankful to say that at the school where I teach, we haven't had this issue, but then we don't have a strong relation of black students, as in some other schools. They don't exist in great numbers at my school because of a strategic move that the state of Georgia regents of the university system made about 4 years ago, which removed a large percentage of the black students from the campus because they weren't graduated. That was the reason given. But be that as it may, what we want to talk about, and I'll ask you to reiterate the topic, Dr. Mustafa, is the real issue, which is if BSU is a black students' union, can be chartered and even encouraged to exist on the black college campuses, then should the white students that want to have a WSU have the same right for free expression. So repeat the topic, Dr. Mustafa, and let's see if we have anybody that has joined us that might want to join in. I think right now it's just
yes,
you
sir.
And myself. But go ahead and repeat the topic.
Yes, sir. The topic for tonight is, should universities charter white student unions on their campuses? Caveat, second part is, should universities charter black student unions on their campuses? And the question is, what is the difference? And if I may continue, Professor, I would think, first of all... Go ahead, sir.
Go right ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you. What I was thinking is that my thought is that, okay, the purpose of the entities in my experience with the black student unions, it hasn't been for radical purposes. It's been basically to make the assimilation in the schools that are dominantly other cultures smoother for people to be able to tolerate and learn how to navigate through that system. Now, what I'm hearing in terms of the complaint that you read from the article, it was like white students complaining against the white student unions being chartered due to what is something like a mob rule kind of attitude like. And, you know, so I understand the importance of free speech, but if free speech is something predicated on promoting violence and make false claim that you are protecting the white community from the black crime, that's a stereotype. Because black people don't do all the crimes. We do some, but a lot of white people do crimes too. So it has to be balanced in what is public relations kind of things. Now, so I would suggest that that the black student unions be certainly, if they're going to charter everybody, we'll charter them all. And matter of fact, I would even say this. The Nation of Islam would be an organization, under my thought, that would be appropriate for bringing on the campus, not to start problems, but to just be there as a part of students who go to school there. So that's my thinking process right now. And I'll kind of wait and just kind of say something later, but that's it for me now, Professor.
Yeah, you well, fine. Well, we're the only ones that are online right now, and I want to hold my opinion until we have more people to respond to it. So what I'm going to do for the next few minutes is go ahead and play a little musical piece while we wait for others to join us. So if you need to take a break, this would be probably a good time to take it. It's going to be a four and a half minute musical piece.
We shall not, be moved. We shall. Like a tree that's planted by the water, we shall not be moved. We shall not, be moved. We shall not, be moved like a tree that's planted by the water. shall not be moved like a tree that's planted by the water. We shall not be
Okay, well, we had a little musical interlude, a little short break for those needed a break, but we're going to resume. And so right now, Dr. Halim, I want to ask you,
yes, sir,
without necessarily relating back to that particular topic, we can get other people to give their opinions when we have other donors, but what's on your mind this evening? What would you like to talk about, certain things that you feel need to be discussed within our family forum? Anything that's on your mind, go ahead.
Okay, well, you know, I was watching the news, the president's current activities, and then, of course, they kind of was showing something related to taking these Hispanic children away from their so-called illegal parents coming over here illegally and then isolating them and using the Bible to justify it. That's the thing that really perplexed me, though. So they use the Bible to justify that, and that was a big concern to me because I know historically they use the Bible to justify black people being slaves in this country. And so it just really, you know, makes me think, for example, there was people who stood in contrary to what was being expressed by the one of his spokespersons that was speaking on behalf of this. And so, you know, the idea is that how can you ever justify putting a person in slavery? How could you ever justify taking a family who come over here in America for opportunity using what was available to get out of a country that we ourselves had been we had destroyed basically economically? And this is things that people have a very short memory. And so we go around the world, America, and we exploit people America, and then we take resources, and then we, like, you know, buy mineral rights for deep excavation, with the caveat to the contract that you have to hire our contractors, right? So, I mean, it's like fairness is fairness, and I'm seeing America not being fair as I wake up more to the reality that, you know, that we're not really free as black people under the Voting Rights Act. So that's really perplexing. And I know that patriotic duty is something that we should really get our young people to focus on. And, you know, patriotic duty is all citizens' responsibility. And we got to take that globally in terms of making people come to understand that we all have the same spirit inside of us, at least the soul starts off. But then there's people who somehow lose their goodness. I don't know how that happens. Are they born away? I don't know. But, you know, every child is not born a racist. See, that's a behavior put inside them. And until we start looking at the big picture and figuring out what is the purpose of our life on earth, and is it an accident or is it divine? So that's some of the things that's on my mind, sir.
Well, what else is on your mind? You got a lot of things going on. Tell us about some of the other things you're working on.
Yes, sir. Well, one thing that that we're doing is that, okay, I've been working on a year-long calendar to give a focus on some of the conscious building in the minds of black people that we need to start thinking about. And I have been working on these papers all this week here and put it together in a way that will explain it. Now, it's basically, we're talking about a year-long consciousness around black people's need to unite and put our economic monies in one focus, and so we can actually have the influence that other cultures have. Because a lot of times we find ourselves going to stores and cultures, they look at us like we're not supposed to be there, but we have an economic power that people grow on, and we die from not using ours. So in terms of that, I was working on this piece. I'm going to read this mission statement. Modern day achievers is a dynamic behavioral mind and spirit changing tool for youth and young adults. MDA, which stands for Modern Day Achiever, or plural group achievers, overpowers DNA transfers and environmental influences. Because a lot of times, you know, even though a person might have a bad DNA track in them, and there might be environmental influences that can either guide them to a right way or guide them to a bad way. In most cases, and from my perspective as an African American, I know that we are being, with DNA transfers and environmental influences, are making us, our young people, kind of really not functioning on the what has been historical for us, the ideas of freedom, justice, and equality. Right now, there's a need to do something that will bring that attention. So we have to look at putting things in perspective. Now, I'm going to go a step further here. All right, one of the major, major tasks that we're doing currently is tied to a federal holiday that was given to Dr. George Washington Carver in 1945 by the 79th U.S. Congress, and it was signed into law and mandated by President Harry S. Truman to require that all federal buildings fly flags, have staff in honor of Dr. Carver's contributions to America and also around the world, but basically it was from American perspective. And so Dr. King Day, we appreciate what he did, certainly no. But most people right now, Dr. King Day is on the calendar, Dr. Carver Day is not. And this is something that we're doing to bring attention to this thing so that we can start to reorganize ourselves around the principles and purpose and the discipline that Dr. George Washington Carver demonstrated as he helped the world eat better and he helped the world stop fighting during the times of the episode during the from, for example, at your great-grandfather's campus of Tuskegee. where Dr. Carver was hired by your great-grandfather, and he actually took on the task of going out to the community to show black people who were just kind of like freshly new out of slavery and still kind of dysfunctioning, how to live better, how to dress up, how to keep clean, and how to eat better, and all those kind of things. And he also saved the South's agriculture from the overgrowth of cotton, which they use as a main staple to make money using slave workforce. And just like same thing in tobacco, but just let's, I'm going to stay with Dr. Carver for a moment here. The thing is that he was given this federal holiday in 1945, as I mentioned, which was 41 years before Dr. King's Day. And as a result, we have done some things with it in the past that reestablished it in all 50 states. And I have a lot of information that I've been compiling from my volunteer work. Now, the telethon is a fundraiser to raise $1 billion U.S. dollars, which would go into my family foundation, which is governed by my wife, my daughter, my son, and, you know, myself. And we have advisors that support. And the idea is that we need to start supporting black family generational wealth building for charity. See, because if we don't build wealth building for the black families, especially helping the young people to understand how to do it, how are we going to circulate money in the areas in our neighborhoods that need resources? So the idea is to get young people, which we call modern day achievers, envisionaires, and envisioneers, to take on task of learning business and taking the terms of learning money investment, take on all the aspects of what money means and how we can take on our regentrification of our own neighborhoods. A lot of times we think that the gentrification is a totally bad thing, but it's only bad if we ourselves don't know how to contribute and participate. And so a lot of the lessons that we're working with to bring in the behavior in, the behavior that will reflect the excellence in black people, just like your great-grandfather, I keep alluding to, he actually helped the model with Tuskegee in terms of showing people how to dress nice, talk nice, go out and you know, and be colorless in business models, as he had a universal attendance of different cultures present. And so we need to take the racism, or let me say it differently, the stigma of black people not being able to be competitive in business, right? We want them to model, the young people, to model what is the best that we have done in the past in terms of, I won't go to Africa, I'm just going to go some American shores, all right? So we like, we're the sorriest people on the planet, and we were able to, you know, come here through forced labor by our African brothers in Africa selling us to the slave catchers in America for little trinkets and so forth. It's not funny, but it's like weird because a lot of Africans, they don't think they contributed, right? A lot of Arabs, a lot of other folks contributed. And now that we're over here today, really, sir, the temperament of how people see us when we come in stores is like, watch out, there's a black person. And then, you know, and they get on the bus, watch out, there's a black person. They don't say that, but their behavior reflects it, right? So we have to bring in what's going to be the excellence of what we have represented in the past and taking the lessons of what, again, I say what your great-grandfather did and what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad did and in terms of the economic things that had to be addressed in terms of wealth building, do-for-self, all those things are critically important. Now, people today, you know, they have gotten so what you might say, entertaining in the spiritual world, that is not even looking at the responsibility of being a what we call a servant, or better yet, let me think about it. It says you know, being a person or doing the work. I'm trying to get this term here. Okay, a person who works on behalf of the spiritual kingdom. Like Jesus said, greater works you will do than I. That's the point I'm going to get to. Greater works you will do than I. Now, he didn't say that as he's saying he's God. He even noted that he was not God, that he was sent by the sender, And that's a, you know, that's clear to me. If you were sent by the sender, that's saying you're not the sender, you're the sent, right? And the work that the sent has been given is to remove the obstacles in people's lives so they can become productive. So the black people today, we are gotten to the point that we don't have the old-time religion. I mean, that's something missing, right? The old-time religion that when people move their neighborhoods, people would stop by just because and welcome them in. Now, you know, black people move in and other black folks are saying, oh, look at that, moving next to me. And they might have more going on in their lives with their family and stuff than what you have in yours. But still, there's those behaviors that have been socially engineered into our families, our communities, and our youth more specifically. So we have the thing that we're looking to do, sir. And I'm going to mention this other piece, which I was thinking about you, sir, and what you mean to me and what you mean to your ancestry. And so we're actually looking for an event that I've organized, and I'm going to read it if I can pull it out here, which I have it. I have organized it, and let me just see here. So basically, it's an award for you, sir. It's an award for you, and it's based on generational wealth building legacy awards. That's what it's called.
Okay,
generational.
Can I ask you this, Dr. Haleem, before
yes,
you,
sir.
You give me that special, what I would say, honor of telling people about this future award, let's let a couple of our other panelists that just joined us have a moment to express themselves, and then later maybe if you want
yeah.
to bring that out about it, that's fine. But since we do have
yes,
Ms. Pianke that have recently joined us, and we want to welcome you, Mr. Pianke, we want to welcome you, Sis Baden. Thank you. I did get that nice text that you sent me. I really appreciate that, Sis Baden. But anyway, repeat the topic for tonight, and let's see if we can get some of their thoughts on that topic.
Great. Tonight's topic is part one and part two. Should universities charter white student unions on their campuses, and should universities charter black student unions on their campuses? And the question is, what is the difference? That's the topic,
okay.
sir.
Okay, so I'm an old school gentleman, so I'll and ladies first, so if you'll bear with us, Mr. Bianchi, let's just take this right now, and then we'll come to you if you don't mind. Man, what's your thinking?
Hi, Shalinkam. Good evening, everybody. I didn't quite understand what you said. Tonight's topic is, should universities do what?
Let me repeat the topic. I'll repeat it. Okay, listen carefully. Should universities charter, that means authorize, charter white student unions? That's something that's in the back news. You don't hear about it much because of all the other political type of things in the main news, but that's also going on, the issue of white students. Some white students want to have white student unions on the campuses. So the question is, should universities charter, meaning authorized, white student unions on their campus? The other questions are, should universities charter, which they have been doing, but should universities charter black student unions on their campuses, and what is the difference?
Oh. Wow. If you're going to start doing the black and white thing, then you're just promoting racism on both sides. That's how I see it. So that's all I have to say about that. There's not going to be any humanism left on this planet if we keep doing this race thing, black and white. And I think that we're a point. We're in the 21st century, and I think we need to be at a level of humanism and spiritual growth, that we understand that we have good and bad people in all races and in all nationalities. And this craziness that's going on in America right now, I see it as a backlash from the European American Caucasian males pent-up rage for 8 years of a black man being in the White House. And so we have all this madness going on out here. Donald Trump wants to put a spell on folks or something. And he has the Congress acting like a cult and like following Sun, Moon, or whoever, only it's Trump now or Hitler, and using human emotions, playing on people's human emotions to manipulate the governing officials into doing what he wants them to do. It's just crazy. So I can't see them chartering anybody if they're going to be separate like that, because there's no such thing as separate and equal. I mean, it's human beings, period. And if you look at it any other way, then it's going to fail. It's going to fall apart, because there's no such thing as anything other than human. And I can't relate to the black-white. I love my people. Yes, I do. And I have people on both sides of the fence. You know, some of my relatives are Caucasian, and some of them are of African descent. But I can't tolerate the separatism anymore. And something has to be done. Even the way that people are thinking, because the 21st century people that I like to talk to or come in contact with, they're not thinking in terms of separatism. They're not looking at people so much in terms of a black-white thing. They want everything to be universal or equal. And I think that although Donald Trump pretends to be a universal thinker, he's not. He's a separatist. And we have separatists on both sides of the fence, and that's just the bottom line. We have racist black people. We have racist Caucasian people. We have racist Chinese. You have racist whatever. And it's not even – it has to end. That's how I see it. Okay, thank you.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to ask you one quick question. This is a yes or no answer. You don't have to elaborate if you don't want to, because I wanted to hear what Ms. Bianca has to say. But based on what you just said, do you think the colleges should pull the white colleges – to pull the charters of the BSUs, the Black Student Unions?
I think
Okay, so if your answer to that question is no, well, if the white student unions say they want to exist alongside the black student unions, then what would be the excuse to the colleges not to let them have a charter?
I don't think anybody should be chartered if they're separatist, period. And if the school is condoning, something like this, then they're obviously supporting a racist separatist environment on their campus.
So you're saying that they should pull the charter of the black student unions then. If the white students can't have a union then, you're saying they should not.
Nobody should have one.
Okay, good. All right, let me go to Mr. Bianchi. Mr. Bianchi, you've been very patient. You've heard the back and forth on this. What is your opinion on this topic?
Well, my grandson goes to LSU, and they do have black student unions, a whole host of them, by the way. And I think it's very, very good and very much needed. That's why I come up for school choice, where a parent can take their child and put them in the type of school environment that they want to. That's why I've always been for African-centered curriculums also. And there's some examples of those schools where they perform extremely well when they're done right. So, yes, universities should respect the free speech wishes of African-American students that want to have the African-American student unions. And many of them do. And those who don't want to be a part of it, or those who don't want to have, who's against that, you shouldn't send your kids to them. As simple as that. No one's making anyone get involved in it. But African American children have been made to get involved in all sorts of schemes and attempts, from Shaker Heights, Ohio, to where they deliberately went out of their way trying to integrate areas. And you have the same thing in Missouri, in St. Louis area, with 24/7 some organization. You had the same thing with some school districts in the outlying area in St. Louis where they were not achieving. And you had these white organizations having meetings with the parents to talk to parents into utilizing a law, whereas if your child was attending a non-accredited school district, then they could go to the adjacent school district. Well, good gracious, one of the school districts that they recommend was an hour drive. It was not an adjacent school district. It was Francis Howe. And whites out there met and said they didn't want those kids coming out, which I don't blame them, because we've seen the same thing happen when Wellston, another black school district, merged with Normandy, and it basically drug their scores down. So, no, yes, universities should have the right to should charter and provide opportunities for black student unions to exist, just like Asian student unions and any other. There should be scholarships that specifically for African American and black students, just like there's scholarships that specifically for left-handed students, scholarship which is specifically for the Daughters of the Confederacy, and scholarships that specifically for people of all types of persuasions and, you know, characteristics. So that's my and I worked, I have worked, I'm not as active as I used to, but I do talk to promote it. That's my position on it.
Okay, well, one thing I want to ask you, we're going to make it short tonight because it's Father's Day weekend, and my wife and I, we're doing some grilling tonight and so forth and so on, so we're not going to go the whole 2 hours, but I do want to ask you this specific question. Now, since they are on most predominantly white college campuses nowadays and have been for a while, black students' unions, BSUs, now that there's a movement on some campuses to start WSUs, white student unions, how do you feel about the white student unions?
Well, yes, the white students want to have a white student union. It's perfectly fine. There's nothing. They can designate a white student union. If somebody other than that wanted to join, I'm sure that they couldn't prevent that. I support all white proms, like is known to have occurred and go on in Georgia, but they go on in private venues. There's nothing wrong with that. If that's what parents want to have, that's perfectly fine. You got those on the left, those on the right, and those in the middle. The Muslims, the in this St. Louis community, the Muslim girls that attend the public schools, they are not taught by male teachers. They have to be taught by a female teacher. That's because it goes along with their culture. So you have to respect that. You have to respect that's a portion of who they are. So, yes, I think that that's perfectly fine for whites to have their own white student union. I would encourage.
Okay, well, I like equality. I think I would probably feel personally uncomfortable because my mind has seen the black student unions as being a counterpose towards white racism. And I think I might feel uncomfortable if they did have a white student union, but I wouldn't try to stop it because as the president of Georgia State University said several years ago, it's the policy of the university to give everyone the opportunity to have free expression. So, but now here's the thing. I know y'all probably going to laugh at me and probably look at me strange if I say this, but I think just like I joined the black student union, I think I would apply for membership in the white student union also because over half of my ancestry, I just did a track of my family. And as far as identifiable ancestors through my great-grandparents are concerned, three-quarters of my ancestors are white or European-American. So I think that regardless of the one-drop rule, I think that I might apply to see if I could be accepted in the white student union, if they had one. But the law is that if they have one for the blacks, they can't say the whites can't have one. Well, we're going to go one more. Yeah,
and you know, to add to that, too, people like to have so-called Black History Month, but when you look at their biological makeup, many of them have the same characteristics that you have. And I told you once before, I was in a meeting with the high school, and the students said if they want to learn about all sides, they said both sides of their biological makeup, which also include a European, and they was designated as Black in that school district. So, I mean, that nothing wrong with that. Perfectly fine. And Trump is not the cause of people acting any extraordinary,
so
because when Obama was elected, you seen a lot of emboldenment that was being pushed amongst those who supported him. I guess you probably had the same thing when Dwight D. Eisenhower was elected. So to put some, and I voted for Trump and support him even to this day. But anyway, I'm sorry to take up more time than I was allocated.
No, you're good. You're good. But Sister wanted to say something. Sister Bay, I'm sorry. You were trying to get in and say something?
I wanted to say something about that word Black. You know, African American people calling themselves Afro Americans. Then the social engineers somehow or another engineered their way back in and had people call themselves Black. Black to me means you'll be lacking something. Don't call me Black. Do not call me Black. Call me Blalian. If you want to call me something, call me Blalian. Do not call me Black, because I'm not be lacking nothing.
Well, that sounds kind of good, but actually I claim to be a Frenchman, whatever color that they are, because when I look at my paternal ancestry, you know, going back to when our people came to America, it was the people from southern France, so you know, but on my driver's license, it says other, so they can take that for what they want to. But anyway, I do want to do this. We're going to go around one more time. Dr. Eileen, before we close out, because we will close out in about 5 minutes, this will be a short form tonight. Would you like to add something before we close about the topic?
Yeah, I just want to say the Statue of Liberty is something I want to reference on, because when the French donated that piece to America, it actually was a Black woman presented, and chains around the ankles, showing the connection to the slavery experience. And again, people want to hide history, but history is a lesson we all have to learn from. And we have to learn that in the South itself, when the people are going to schools and they're getting refused because of color, I mean, we got to get rid of all this stuff. I agree with the sister on that point. And so that's just something that we have to continue to agitate, as Frederick Douglass says, agitate, agitate, agitate. That's my comment. Yes.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Okay. We got enough time for each person to get one more closing comment. We'll do our honor to Sister Bain and then close out with Ms. Bianchi. So, Sister Bain, would you like to make a closing comment?
I just want to say I wish that all human beings would just accept each other as human beings first, you know, because this is a really small planet, and if you keep using words like Black and white, I could see you saying that you're from Africa or China or Japan or Italy or Europe. But when you start trying to limit people to just their skin color and you want to create separatism, separatism comes about when you start saying, oh, the Blacks are over here, this is a Black student union, this is a white student union over here. You know, then you start creating separatism. And children do not see themselves that way. They're taught to be and think that way. And that's all I have to say about that. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Jackie. You can close this out tonight. Would you like to give a closing comment?
Well, I think that people should be able to designate themselves as they are. You know, at some time near the end of this century, one out of every five people, one, two, three, four, five, is going to be a Nigerian. And they are not anything but what they are. And that's just the way it's going to be. They have the second largest population on Earth, right behind the Indians. And, you know, with my ability to travel to countries, especially on the African continent, I would go all 30 days, Mr. Washington, without seeing a white person. You go into some of those markets, Market and Kumasi, and that's all you see is Black Ghanaian people. And it's a beautiful thing. I have no problem with it. Ethiopia, you go in some of those markets, all you see is Black people. So, no, people have a right to designate themselves as they want. You know what the problem is that when people, others see that, they find something wrong with it. That's where lies the problem. As I said to you before, you have these organizations, these progressive organizations, that hate to see an all-black school. What's the word that they use? Resegregated is the word, a term that they use. Said the schools are becoming resegregated. No. Forced segregation is wrong. Integration is just as wrong. And de facto integration, that means people vote. I'm sorry, people live where they choose to live. And if it just so happens that the community is all a majority African-American, there are some communities that's about 95% African-American. That's up to them. They live where they want to live. Nobody's telling those that they don't have to live there. But you shouldn't be telling people that they shouldn't live in that type of environment if they want to. And those that do, I think there's something wrong with them.
Well, okay. Well, thank you for everyone participating tonight, and we appreciate you. We want to say a big shout out of Happy Father's Day to all the fathers and even those men who don't have biological children, who are big brothers or foster fathers, or taking some child, boy or girl, under their wing to try to help them to develop properly. We want to say Happy Father's Day to all of you, and we want to thank everyone who has listened. They did not dial in, but listen via the internet. So now, and we want to also give a shout out to my brother-in-law, Mark Runnels. Happy birthday to you, Brother Mark, in case you're listening via the internet. And to all of you who have birthdays, and for the Muslim, since we're still in the period of the Eid celebration, coming off of the great month of Ramadan, we say happy Eid, or as we say, Eid Mubarak, blessed Eid to all of you. And now we're going to close out with our traditional song, Lift Every Voice and Sing.